Good evening. Happy Thanksgiving early, real early. You can still buy a turkey. Yeah, this is the one time of year that we're intentionally thankful, because most of the year we're not thankful, but we plan to be thankful in this part of the year, right? We've been trained, right, culturally to be thankful. So I like Christianity that it's not a season for us to be thankful. But the measure of our thankfulness is the measure of what we're thankful for, which is God. So we don't have to have a party to be thankful. We can be thankful every day. But I really think we learn to be thankful. It's not natural to be thankful. It's natural to be selfish. So we have to learn to be thankful. I think God teaches us how to be thankful. And I think by faith, we can be intentional in learning how to be thankful. We're in Owings Mills, if you don't know. Grace Family Fellowship in Owings Mills, we're there. Pray for us. I'm very thankful for Owings Mills, Randallstown, Reisterstown, Pikesville, that area. We've knocked on about maybe 70% of the doors. A lot of fun knocking on doors. You don't know what's coming through the other side of the door, but we're thankful. We got to learn to be thankful. That's something you have to practice. You know, it's not like you just stumble out of bed and become thankful. Right? It's actually, I have to be intentional. It's a skill. It's not a gift. It's not a talent. It's a skill. I have to learn to be spiritually skillful, to be thankful, right? That God would teach us how to do that. Thankful for our church. I know in Owings Mills, as a branch, we're thankful for this church. Because if it wasn't for this church, there would not be that church. So we're mindful and we're thankful for this church. We're thankful for our God. We're thankful for our pastor. We're thankful. And when you practice thankfulness in your life, you find joy.
Amen.
You find peace. You focus on what you have rather than what you don't have. And it will change your prayer life. You find yourself asking God for less than thanking God for what you have.
Amen.
So in the season when the world practices being thankful, we can just continue to be thankful.
Amen.
So pray for us again in Owings Mills. Come visit. Come out to Owings Mills. We got stores and malls. You can come out to Owings Mills. I came to visit Pastor Ronaldo when I went shopping. I'll be your cover story. No problem. I'm thankful. Some lady said to me, door knocking, she said, "Are you a mega church?" I said, "No, we're actually a micro church with a mega message. But we're a micro church." Micro. Too small. That's us. Father, thank you so much for our church. We have so much to be thankful for tonight, really. We don't have enough time to thank you for everything. But we just thank you for the one thing. You in our life makes everything better. You in our life takes us through. You in our life gives us capacity, gives us relevance, gives us value, gives us meaning, gives us strength, gives us hope. You in our life. Truly, we are thankful. Let's bless our service tonight, God. Continue to teach us to be intentional, to think about you, to walk with you, to trust you, and to do it by faith. It takes faith to be thankful. Help us to be people of faith here, Owings Mills, and around the world. In your son's name, amen.
All right, I'm just here to share a testimony as well as welcome you. So welcome. Actually, he kind of did that already. So, and maybe share a little word too as well. So, Lord, just to guide us today, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Amen. So testimony. So we were in Richmond this last weekend, this last Saturday, and it's funny because I had like nothing really planned. Like I had a plan, you know, we're going to go here and there. And then like a week before, the mime team hit me up. The mime team. And they're like, "We want to come to Richmond." I'm like, "Are you okay? Sure. Come on in." And so they all came up and we had an amazing time. We had about 15 people coming Pastor Eugene came, Pastor Tom Smith with Culpeper people came as well, and we planned for a mime in the park. And so we outreached, we sent out people in the park to say, hey, we're going to have a little mime production going on over here. Come and hear a good word. And I got paired up with this one kid, his name is Billy, and so sweet. So he's a deaf kid in the Culpeper Church. And me and him are going out, and he told me it's his first time outreaching and doing this. And he's so good at reading the lips, too, as well. And it was so precious. And so we had just Bible verse cards, and he went out and would give people a Bible verse, and I would just explain it and just invite them to the mime thing. So it was so cool, just like how God uses people, you know? And so we had the mime thing, and so about 100 people probably saw this thing. We planted ourselves right by the main entrance where you had a walk. We're right by the sidewalk. So some people would walk, just go by and know that they're kind of interrupting. We had a whole group of young ladies who were at some sports event. They're all videoing it. And just, it was so precious when the body comes together. And the Richmond team was just so blessed. And this is like the verse when I first came here. I really focused on this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. It says, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. And I just love that verse, you know, like, what is my gift? What is my portion in the body? Maybe you don't know that now. The body will make that clear to you. God will make that clear to you. But seek to just edify. And this church is amazing on edifying one another. And we need that, don't we? You know, we need to edify. So, just thank you guys for just your prayers in Richmond. And God is doing a great work there. And the body's growing. And, so this last, one other point is Pastor Shabelli. I kind of took an example from him because it was a group that was, I didn't really have everybody's number, so I was texting like 5 different people. Okay, we're meeting here, we're meeting there. And so I would say, hey, we're leaving, we're going. And I would just Pastor Shabelli it. Like, if they didn't listen right away, I'm just gone. You know, you got to catch up. You'll figure it out. But God ordained it and led it the whole time. It was just so precious how he does it. Like, we don't know if it's going right or not, but God knows. And and then this last Friday, we also had an open house for Maryland Bible College, and we had a record-setting numbers who showed up to the open house. So pray for new students for next semester, and it's just an amazing time. So amen. We're also going to pray for the offering. And let me get an announcement as well, too. We have the Kids Christmas Workshop. That's December 6th. 5:30. You could register at ggwo/events, and you all are welcome, okay? So we're praying for the offering now. Lord, just thank you for just the edification you have in the body. We are broken people, and we struggle in this world, in this life, but you have ministering spirits. You have the word to encourage us and the body to pick one another up. The strong will pick up the feeble and the weak. Thank you, Lord. Teach us through your Holy Spirit tonight. Give us a word of encouragement. Thank you for all the churches in our ministry and those that are preaching your word all around the world. We pray for those of the persecuted, those that are in pain and suffering right now, God. Know that it's only momentary, that this is not our home, Lord. Thank you. We have a heavenly home. We have a heavenly vision. It's different. It's not of this world, but it's from you, and it's eternal. And your word is true. When you say it, it'll be done, and we're going to go by faith and believe in that. For this new year, this Thanksgiving, all these things, Lord, we give to you. Help us to give today in the offering, just what we have, Lord. We could just give it to you by faith. Thank you for this ministry. Bless the word tonight in our fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the assembly tonight. We gather in your name for your Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts your word. Touch us, please. Encourage us tonight. Encourage us deeply, Lord, each person here. Encourage each one in the inner man. Yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you for our country. Pray there would be a great spiritual moving amongst many and they would find you deeply and not only be born again, but they would continue in the walk of faith. They would put on the new man. They would know you, as we heard Sunday night. Yes, Lord, in your name, amen. There's a short phrase I can share with you, Ephesians 4. The phrase is the work of the ministry in chapter 4 and verse, let's see, where are we? The work of the ministry, verse 12. The context is God gives gifts. He gave gifts to the body of Christ for the maturing of the assembly, for the work of the ministry, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, or a better word, maturing of the saints. So what has happened in your life is that you were born again, and you are not of the flesh. You don't live according to the flesh or under the flesh. You live in the Spirit because you are born again. So now you have a change in your life. That's in Romans 8. And the work of the ministry, I just want you to meditate on that with me tonight. Friday night, Jesse mentioned open house for MBCNS. And then that same night, Pastor Shibeli was teaching a class, and another teacher, Pastor Cannon, and Pastor Paul Andrelonis does psychology, and Pastor Matt, and such good teachers. And then you have that same night, recovery, Pastor Ramir with people that want encouragement for their new life, that they have a new life. They have a new life. And so to help them, to encourage them by the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, gift of faith, gift of mercy, what happens in the body. We heard Pastor Ronaldo tonight, Owings Mills. Then you have Fed Hill and Habit of Grace and Edgewood and Glenn Burney and all these works of faith that is happening in the week. But what is the deepest thing that you could say in the work of the ministry? Not the outward realities of service, which are so precious and important. Availability, like you take time out of your schedule to be here tonight by faith, because you live by faith. This is the new life we have. We live by faith. And things happen from God. Richmond, they go down, they do mime on the street. We have Pastor Suhas and Anna go to Towson, do mime with the team on Saturday, and on it goes. You hear about it a lot. We hear about it, and Pastor Barry in the school. Wow, Pastor Barry and Veronica. How does Veronica counsel Pastor Barry on a Friday night when they're laying in bed talking? What does Veronica say to Pastor Barry? What do you think? You are my hero. You are my man. You are God's man. Yeah, I am with you. We are together. You are doing a great job in the school. And then he groans, rolls over. Now, we rejoice. And there's so many things that happen in the course of a week in the world that work, that happen because Pastor Duke is here tonight. Thanks for coming down. And this little group here. How many of you are glad to be associated with him? You're from York. There they are. There's four of them. Okay. And then Pastor Bob Colban and Chrissy, how amazing. We did breakfast today and with a brother, and just amazing. Young and old, young people, and the work that happens in the course of a week. Hello to a young person. To see somebody, pray, love them, pray for them. A young person. And what's the deep thing that happens? Somebody will see. They will see you're not natural. You are different. You're not fighting. You are at peace. There's something different. There's the work of the ministry that happens in hearts. And there is love in chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Has anybody here seen the body of Christ? How about it? Have you seen the body of Christ in this room? Yes. Have you seen it? You haven't seen it? Have you seen it? Well, wait a minute. Here's Jesus walking in Israel. What do you see? What do you see when you see Jesus? Well, I just see a regular guy. Now, somebody else sees Christ, right? They see Christ. It's possible I don't see. It's possible I don't see the body. It's possible I just see a group of people that get together, or I see a social thing or a psychological thing. But no, this is something not from men. This is God in us. We heard that Sunday night from Justin on Ephesians 3. We read it in the scripture. And we are filled with the Spirit. Christ is settled in us, dwells in us, and we have the fullness of God. Wow. The fullness of God in us. I don't know. It's hard to believe. Do you see it? Again, no, I don't see it. Do you see it? Look again. Can you see it, right? Amen. Can we see? Is the tree a good tree? Does it produce good fruit? Is it from God or not? Is it the Spirit of God that motivates people decade after decade? Remember, Justin said, sometimes in Fed Hill, yes, young people come, they're very excited. They got ideas, they're very excited. A few months later, you don't find them anywhere. On the other hand, and I think he's just saying, like, that happens everywhere, but in me too. I would not be here. But the power of God is not primarily emotional. The power of God is not human strength. Power of God is decade after decade, Dave Smithson has changed into the image of Christ from glory to glory. Have you seen Dave Smithson walk down the sidewalk? What do you see? I see Dave Smithson. Oh, no. Decades. Decades of love, of service. He's the last shall be first. The people that have been born again, you and I, we've been born again, and we have the Spirit of God in us. And we are excited about that, the Spirit of God in us. So I want to say a couple short things about the Spirit in you. All right, turn to Romans chapter 8. And we have this first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Do you know what I feel here? There's no condemnation. I do. I feel in the church there is no condemnation. I feel that's from God. To have a whole group of people and they're not judging each other, not attacking each other, not have attitudes about each other, not gossip about each other, not be talking behind people's backs, not saying bad things about the work of grace and the church and the body and building them up. They edify by the Spirit of God. But the natural man, he has problems. Let's look at one of them. Chapter 7 in verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. So let's get this word, sarx. What is the meaning of this word? In the English, it's flesh. What's the meaning of it? It's my OSN, or old sin nature. It's my sin nature that we received from Adam when he fell. And that sin nature is characterized by a number of phrases in this chapter and also in chapter 8, verses 5 to verse 8. Chapter 8, 5 to 8. I think we will have time to go through that. I'm not sure. I'm going to keep it short tonight. But I want you to listen to me as we think about this. I've got a problem. How many of you studied Spanish in high school? Okay, I did 2 years. How many of you know how to speak Spanish? How many of you continued in your Spanish? I didn't. I wanted to learn Spanish, but I never did. And Pastor Hadley's my counsel. He's meeting me every week for counsel. All right, so I want to do something, but I don't do it. I want to do something like learn Spanish, but I don't get it done. I don't do it, so I'm disappointed with myself. Well, just kind of man up, Pastor Shelley. Get it done. Do what you're supposed to. We can do that. But there's something else in it. What?
See. Yes.
I couldn't hear you.
See. Yes.
Yeah.
In Spanish. Yes.
Oh, see. Oh, okay. See. All right. See that? I don't know what he's saying. He's speaking Spanish. Okay. See. Yeah. All right. So, but there are things that I don't want to do, like eat a lot of chocolate cake. I don't want to do that. But that's, guess what? That's what I do. Or hubby-tubby ice cream late at night, right? Remember Wayne Hogarth saying something like that? Hubby-tubby ice cream, 2 quarts before I go to bed. All right, I don't want to do it, but that's what I do. Does anybody identify with this? Do we understand that we have this? So then the work of the ministry is that God would change our lives, that we would find God, and he would be and is the God of all grace. Not my God, but God. I'm going to show you another little picture here. You can do this. This is God, and for some people, this is God for them. That's their God. Is he God? No, but there's some overlap. But they don't like the message of hell. They don't like the message of sin. They don't like the message of the blood. They don't like the God of the Bible. They got their own God. So is that God? It's not. They have their own God. Does their life change? Life doesn't change. Are they living in the flesh? Yes, they're living in the flesh. But we also live in the flesh, because Romans 7 is saying that. Let's look at the next one, verse 19. For the good that I would learn Spanish, I do not. But the evil which I would not, eat a lot of ice cream before I go to bed. That's what I do. Okay. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do, but sin that dwells in me. Now, that's a message in itself. Yes, sin that dwells in me. What do you mean? Pastor Shell, you got to own that. You didn't learn Spanish. No, you got to own that. I go, yeah, I take accountability. I take responsibility. I didn't do it. That's true, but I got another message. I have sinned, but there's another message. It's not I, but sin that dwells in me. Well, how can you say that? Because I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. See the identity? That's an identity shift. The work of the ministry is to build us up in who we are, because we all have a plaguing problem with ourselves. And the work of the ministry helps us go beyond ourselves and find God. Find God. Now, what do we mean? This God, this one, the living God, sent the Holy Spirit into the world to teach us who He is. And He's a holy God. He is not just like my made-up God or the God that I want, but He is the living Almighty God who gave us this great book to teach me who He is and align us with Him, so that now we walk in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit teaches us this is the closing part. There's no condemnation. Now, I want to explain that. Okay. No condemnation. Because when you get wrapped up with yourself, it's so easy to feel guilty. We feel guilty. We have sinned. We have failed. I have not read my Bible enough. I have not prayed enough. I've not been the kind of Christian I should be. I even walk out into our society and people are saying that I'm a racist, when in my heart I know I am not. But why are they saying that to me? Or homophobic, or any of these wokeisms and the culture that's saying that is condemning us. That this is a world of condemnation. It is not only to Christians, but it's a condemnation world to everybody. Look at John 3 with me, please, and I'll show you exactly what it says. You were born condemned, chapter 3 and verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Condemn the world. I think there's something to say about that. Maybe get into it a little bit. I don't want to, but in a way, but all right. The devil will say, you go live your life sin, live in sin, I will not condemn you. The devil will not condemn. But he does. And that's his nature. He is the judge. He condemns us. And yet you're partying, and he says, go for it, go for it. Have a good time, have a good time. But 24 hours later, who's condemning you? Your conscience, and also the world that says, you were at that party? Yeah, was that on Facebook? Did we catch you? We will cancel you out. We will condemn you. Okay? Look at verse 17. It says, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Thank you, God. Are you the Savior? Look up at our little sketch there. Who's the living God? He's the one that doesn't condemn us. He does not condemn us. He's the only one that doesn't condemn us. He forgives us. He's the one that gives us grace. But if I am not believing in him, then the condemnation I already have, it carries on through my life. And one day I will stand, that person, will not the believer, but will stand before God and be judged out of the book. And my word will judge you. I don't judge you, John 12:47, but my word will judge you in the last day. All right, go back to the text, please. It says, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. What does it mean? You're born condemned. You live in a condemned world, in a condemned state. You're condemned. You're judged already. You haven't even, it's the nature of the human race. We are under condemnation. We're under condemnation. Then you become a born-again Christian, and you have Romans 7 happening, where, you know, you should have learned Spanish, but you never did, and you should stop eating ice cream, but you don't. So therefore, I'm condemned by my own life. I'm condemned by my own weakness. I'm condemned by my own sin. I'm condemned. Just leave me by myself, and I am condemned. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Who, oh, wretched man? So go back to Romans 8, and I want to point out a couple things here. Verse 22. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. What's the work of the ministry? Work of the ministry is all it has a lot to do with the inward man. The inward man comes alive by the work of the ministry. I was listening, Martin Lloyd-Jones was preaching, and he talked about two politicians, Wilberforce, many of you know who he was in Britain, the guy that got rid of the slave trade in Britain in 1833, then William Pitt, I think he was prime minister, and Wilberforce was a born-again Christian, and he loved this preacher, and he got the unbeliever, William Pitt, to go with him to listen, and Wilberforce was listening, and he was like flying with the message. He was like flying. He was alive. He loved the message so much, and his friend sitting next to him, when they walked out, William Pitt said, I didn't understand anything what that guy was saying. Like, I was so bored. I understood nothing about it. What's the difference? One is born again. The one has the Spirit. One has the living God. One has the fellowship with God. The other one doesn't know anything about God. He's at enmity with God. He is hostile to God. He doesn't know God. So, look at chapter 7, verse 23. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So he's explaining what's going on. And he had the word mind is important in that text. My mind. My mind. Very important. My mind. The mind. Very important. A wretched man that I am. Now he's very frustrated with himself. Looks to himself. Oh, what can I do? What? Oh, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Then he just shifts to God. It's like in our little sketch here. He shifts to God, and this is the answer for you and your sin and my sin. What's the answer? God. God is the answer for that's our new life. It's God. Yeah, we labor in our hearts to relate to God, to love him with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. Matthew 22:37. We make an effort to be spirit-filled and to be humble and broken before God and embrace who he is. And then he says, Romans 8:1, this is our point, that there is no condemnation in God. I'll put that here. No condemnation. Does he judge you? No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He doesn't condemn you. No, he doesn't. There isn't any condemnation in God. I don't know. It's just meaning, it's a whole thing. It's the spirit of lifting us up. It's the spirit of restoration. It's the spirit of love and grace. It's the spirit of, yeah, but Lord, don't you know about my struggles with myself? He goes, yeah, I know it all. I know it all. That's why Romans 8 is written. Romans 8 is written to say, and there's 21 times in Romans 8 where you have the word, Romans chapter 8, you have the word spirit. I believe it is, I've heard two, we can count them. There's a lot of them, okay? 21 times, you can count them more. I think one time I counted 37, I'm not sure. Holy Spirit is in Romans chapter 8 over and over again. The Holy Spirit is what you have in your life. And the Holy Spirit is he is the one that is doing the work of the ministry in our inner man. And that's why I love the ministry so much, because it's deep, it's personal, and there's no condemnation. I don't care about your flesh, and you don't care about my flesh. I don't care about your flesh. I care about us trusting in the living God and his grace being showered on us, and we learning how to relate to life in faith, in encouragement, in edification, so that others would find liberty. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But I have found the condemnation a very common thing in hearts of people, condemning people, and they do it naturally. We do it naturally. I find it in myself. Naturally, I've found myself under attack from the devil. You're not qualified. You're way out beyond. You are not qualified. You should never have gone to Finland. You're not qualified. You should have never gone to wherever. You should have never even opened your mouth. You should have never done this or never done that. What is that spirit? What is that spirit? Yeah, it's the enemy. It's condemning. But then my counter is, yeah, but I already did it. Yeah, but I already did it. And I couldn't even believe. I can't even. You and I can't believe when the Spirit of God, when we are relating to the living God, how that affects our hearts and minds. What it does to us. What it means when you're not condemned. How much liberty you have when you're not condemned. How much joy we have in our life when we're not condemned. How encouraging it is when we're not condemned. We start to believe that a lot of things are possible because God is with us. And you know, this is watch this. There was Peter who said, I will go with you and I will die with you. He said, I can, or I will, I can go with you and I will die with you. And Jesus said, no, you can't. But you will later, but you can't. And Gideon said, I can't. His first answer was, I can't. His first thing was, I can't. And then God said, you will. And I think these two are mistakes. I can, and then I can't is a mistake. When we say, I can, but with the wrong orientation, I can, God says you can't. Guys, you can do it with God, but you can't do it on your own. The natural man can't do it. Like, I can't stop eating the Hubby Chubby ice cream every night. And the Lord has said, okay, go for it. But there are things that you not know and I know that we might say I can, but I can't. But when we are in touch with the living, holy God, we can. And Peter could die because Christ was with him when Christ did it. And Gideon said, I can't. And then the angel said, yes, you can. Both are mistakes of our flesh. But when you walk in the Spirit, you show up at church. When you walk at the Spirit, we gather in His name. On the phone, with a phone call. When we walk in the Spirit, we end up living in faith and in hope. And everybody, children. Do you know what I read today about where Father's Day came from? And there was a girl who lost her dad, I think in Iowa or somewhere, Idaho. This is in 1910. It didn't exist. The holiday, Father's Day, didn't exist. And then it was picked up. Like she did a local little celebration for her dad, to honor her dad, honor her dad, honor her dad. What a nice idea. Where's that come from? The Bible. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Where is that done in the world? In a Christian country where we have the Bible as a foundation for our decision, for the work of the ministry that happens inside in your heart. Well, why are you so excited? Because I'm not condemned. Why do you have vision? Because I believe the Spirit of God is encouraging us and we're walking in the work of the ministry, not striving, because it's not the flesh. It's the Spirit that's with us, that's in us. And I want to just give a big shout out to this body and say this is good fruit. How do you know that? Decades of faith and love. Do you know each other after the flesh here tonight? Are you gossiping about each other? Are you judging each other because of the kind of car you drive out in the parking lot? We don't even know what car you're driving and could care less. Amen? Are we judging each other by our income or education or class in society? We don't care. We are living in something that is very interesting to us. And that's another thing about the false God, and that I can't do tonight, but this false God is not that interesting. He's not that exciting. You can fall asleep, and usually the people that believe in him do fall asleep. I got to tell you, you want to hear a funny little joke? A little joke. We're finishing, okay? There was an old Scottish preacher. And he's preaching in the countryside. And this is in the 19th century. The farmers were there, but they're all falling asleep. And the Scottish preacher yelled out, and he said, all of you are sleeping except Jack, the idiot, over here. Because that's the way you could talk back then. Now you get offended. Okay. Jack, the idiot, he's not sleeping. Jack stood up, and he said, yeah, and if I wasn't an idiot, I'd be sleeping too. Okay, why did I say that? Come on. Hey, wait a minute. Let's finish it up here. People that have the wrong God, their own God, people that have their own God, you met them every day. They don't have God. They're an enemy of God. They're hostile to a God. They don't know. They don't have a mind for God. They don't read the Bible. They don't understand the Bible. They don't like preaching. They don't go to church. They don't have anything going on in their life in a spiritual way. Are they nice people? Yeah. Are they successful? Oftentimes they are. Are they political, social, wealthy, career, nice, decent people? Yeah. But they don't have God. Yes, but they don't have God. That's Romans 8, amen. Abbreviated. Amen. Okay, so that's why we're here, to say, for God to be the living God. We will be holy. We'll have conviction. We'll be somewhere because of God. God will put us somewhere. We'll have a ministry. The work of the ministry will happen. Some child will be touched. So Father's Day, to get back to that point, 1925, one of our presidents said we want it to be a national holiday, the third Sunday of June, I think. Every year, Father's Day. Same we do with Mother's Day, of course. So now, what's my point? Malachi 4, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children's hearts to the fathers. What's the meaning? Revival. When dads love their kids and kids love their dads, that's revival. That's the work of the ministry. That's the Spirit of God that happens in a family. And by the grace of God, it happens in different ways and so on, but that's the work that we want to see happen all the time. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Okay, so if you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus Christ, the living God, coming into your heart tonight, without Him, we have nothing, but come as you are with everything, all who you are. Nobody's qualified except those that believe. God makes you qualified. God gave His Son for you and does not condemn you. Go. You are free. You're a child of God. Walk with Him by faith. Trust Him tonight. In His name, amen. Amen. Amen.